Okay, let's thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you in Christ Jesus for all the abundance that you have given into our lives in many different forms. Even while we struggle and suffer in different ways, different things, health-wise and psychologically, we all go through so many different things, often unread and unrecognized, seen by others, but you see all. So thank you for the ways that you give us the ability to give even in the midst of that, and even out of the midst of that. And so with all this abundance, we have a bit of finances here that we've been freed in our hearts to give. So please, we ask you, receive these gifts by your Spirit among the people that will, even in the people who will take the finances beyond this and assign it to the purposes that we need or we're obligated to, Lord, in your Spirit, in your grace. Please direct them, guide them. And may you also open our hearts as we continue through our lives to open up and give in all the ways that you have given to us. We thank you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
So it was awesome. I was only able to be here one day, and because thanks be to God, my job started last week. So now we've had 43 kids come through our building and learn about Jesus here, and that's awesome. So you know, as you're praying, thank God for everything He did. Thank God for the people that made it work. Folks at Uxbridge Church were very generous. So you saw Kathy in there. I don't know if you recognized her, but Kathy McIntosh runs PBS there. And after they do it there, they come here and bring all their props and their stage and their set, and they do it here. And they bring two of their interns and some of their volunteers as well. Thank God for the folks from our congregation that helped out as well. Annette quarterbacked the food and prepared most of that. She was here every day. Keith was here 2 days. George ran registration most days. Don closed up the church each day and was available to help with crowd control. Natty and Tammy helped with crowd control. Emma helped. Anna Marie was here a few days. So thank God for all those people. And Lisa helped, as well. And so now it's the what next. So as you heard, five children gave their hearts to Jesus as part of that. So pray for those new Christians. I mean, this is grade 7 and under. So I don't know what I would expect these are at the older age, but it's a very young age. They need a lot more nurturing. So pray that they get that nurturing. And pray that the seeds planted in the younger kids, in the other kids' hearts, the other 38 kids, that those would grow as well. And maybe this isn't the time for them to make the commitment, but maybe next time or the time after. And so now comes what should we do next? So now we have 43 kids who made a connection with us. And that represents 20 or 30 families that made a connection with us. I would like to be able to contact each of those families and say, hey, here's a link to the video. Your kids had a great time. And now what's next? Now our fall program will be kicking off. So we want to be able to provide follow-up to this, to nurture that seed that was planted. We want to have enough Sunday school programs in the fall to reach those age groups. And based on the number of grade...
Don't mind me, Stephen.
No worries. Based on the number of grade 5, 6, 7 that we're through, I think we need a pre-high school, a grade 5, 6, 7 youth program. We already had a lot of kids in that age grade here, 5 to 8. And now we have a bunch more that we met this week. So so we'll need to talk over the course of August and September about how we start that. We can't let any grass grow under us, as it were. If we start in September saying, hey, we've got a kickoff in October, people will say, well, that's a bit late. We need to be saying, hey, here's what we're doing in September. We've been praying for God to show us the plan, show us what He wants us to do, And he sent 43 little kids to our building last week. I think that's an answer. I think that's a challenge to us. So we'll need more people involved in that ministry in the fall than we had last spring. So we did a good job last spring. We started to have two age groups, which helped. We did some of our work with the Chinese congregation, which helped spread the work, which was great. But we'll need more and more again. So, you know, pray about how you can be part of that, whether that's an organizing thing, a planning thing, a logistics thing, like getting crafts ready, or an actual teaching thing. I know if Keith were here, he would say there's nothing like teaching kids about Jesus to help you deepen your learning and your understanding. He talks about how when he started teaching Sunday school, even though he was ill-equipped, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And he found that to be the best way for him to deepen his understanding and his knowledge along his journey. So pray about that, and then please be receptive when we come and start tapping you on the shoulder in August and September and saying, hey, can you help in this way? So with that, part of our youth ministry, a children's moment. So Russ is going to do the children's moment this morning.
Okay, we're going to keep folks staying in their places, or?
It's up to you. Okay, where are we going to put you?
Kids can sit right around there.
I don't want
it
here.
They
can
climb on you, Russ.
They could.
Hi, Victoria. How you doing?
Okay, come on up here, guys.
Whoops, I'm going to knock over things. I moved too much to have it stationary.
Okay, have a seat. Come on up. Okay, have a seat, guys.
I can go down there too, I guess. I may not get back up.
Okay, good morning. How are you doing? Watch your heads, watch your cords. Good morning, how are you doing? How's the summer going?
Good.
Excellent. Thomas is excited about summer.
What is it? You got six, how many weeks of school? 5 more weeks of school, maybe?
Okay.
That's exciting.
I saw back to school stuff yesterday at the Walmart when I was out there. Anyways, I digress. Okay, hope. I hope for no more school. Okay? Anybody else have a hope they're hoping for? Yes, dear. Victoria.
I hope for school.
You hope for school. See, the whole, it's all the perspective here.
He's going to
He's gonna get hurt. Okay. Well, you know what? I feel like I'm towering over you guys. Okay. So, hope. I hope there's a Tim Hortons when I'm driving on a road trip.
Woohoo!
See, there we go. There we go. Okay. My son hopes he sells his house this weekend. Okay. So there's all kinds of things we hope for. And I looked it up just a second here. If I can get my phone to work for me. Okay. Wikipedia, that famous accurate website that we all look at. That we can also, apparently you can change it if you want to change history. It says, hope is an optimistic attitude of mind that is based on expectation of positive outcomes. That's heavy stuff. So hope is, we're hoping something good's going to happen, right? So we can hope, right? We can hope things are going to happen. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. We can hope it happens. We can hope the Leafs will make the playoffs. Donna hopes the Blue Jays make the World Series. Even 14-5, we were still watching the game yesterday. They might come back. Okay. Anyways, so, but hope. We have one thing we can put our hope in. What's that? Yeah, hope inside yourself, yes. We can put our hope in Jesus. We can put our hope that he is going to lead us the right way. He's going to send us the right way. This week, we hoped, I'm sure Steve and whoever was organizing, hoped DBBS would, be good, have a few kids come and have a good time. 43 children. Wow, can you imagine? 40, that's a lot of children. And 5 came to know Jesus. So what we are hoping, but we put our hope in Jesus that it would actually take place and it would actually, people would come to the Lord, okay? So remember that. We can hope things happen, but if we put our hope in Jesus and in God, maybe not when we want it to happen, but it will happen if it's what God's will is, okay? So let's pray, and then we go back to our seats because we have nowhere to go because it's fabulous we had to add seats this morning. Okay.
you go, okay, are they going to go in there? Is that part of the plan, or is that... Okay. Okay, well, you know what? You're not my kids, so... I guess now if we can trust you to go in there and quietly play, I guess you can go in there. It's just a lack of maybe some supervision, that's all. Okay. Dear Jesus, thank you as we go forward today. We put our hope in you that you will fulfill our dreams and follow, and we can follow your will. Name we ask. Amen.
So, the reading from the Word of God, I'm taking from Genesis 21, verses 1 to 5. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah, as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son at his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, and when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. My second reading will be from Hebrews 6, from verse 11 to 20. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. He said, "Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation is for them. It is an end to all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by the oath. And we are the heirs of inheritance. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord for you this morning. Amen.
For some of us, maybe it was that it was joyful, and maybe for some of us it was more he was showing us things that we needed to deal with, or things that we've been leaving undealt with in the world, and so maybe it got a little bit more serious. Sometimes it can be either, can't it? And yet there's something good about that too, because of how he is, our awesome Father in heaven. He knows every single thing going on with our hearts and with our lives, and he cares that much to meet you. Sorry, I've seen some tears and I've seen some smiles. So I know this is touching hearts, that we all know this kind of work that God does in us, don't we? A lot of us do anyways. It's pretty special, all those different ways. So how can I gather that into a prayer with you now? It's hard to do. It's hard to even imagine. I would, if there was some way, so may the Spirit of God somehow speak in our hearts as we bow together now. And we do, our beautiful, awesome Father in heaven, bow our hearts to you because you are awesome how tender you are and how firm you are, how you don't waver, how you're the same in your character, how you do discipline us with a genuine care for life and for well-being with each and every one of us. And for all those lives around us, no matter how poorly they treat us, and even for us, no matter how poorly we find ourselves treating others, you know our needs. You know the needs in all of our relationships. You know our joys and where each of us is at this morning. Some of us feeling free without worries right now. Everything seems to be good and peaceful. Or just moving nice and fast and feels like it's full of life right now. And others of us, there's weights and struggles. Some we recognize and understand. Some of us, it's just a heaviness, a difficulty. Others in our families beyond us here too. And yet you know every single thing. You respond to the thoughts even when people don't express them to you. We thank you for that. Thank you for the ways you reach out to each one of every one of our lives throughout our lives. You grain on the righteous and the unrighteous, as Jesus said. You provide for, you care for everyone. And as Peter wrote, it's not that you're allowing everything to go on, but you're patient with all humanity, desiring that everyone come to a saving knowledge of you, to that being saved out of the death, the destruction of this world and of our own lives, of this temporary life, physical life that we have here, into that eternal relationship, not just with you, but yes, with you, but also with one another. You want all humanity to come into that life with you. Some of us even recognize that who we are inside isn't our body. We're different. Even though we get older and our limbs don't work, who we are inside is still moving around. And there are so many others around, hospitals and such, who are just like that, unconscious or semi-conscious, and yet somewhere beyond our recognition they're moving. And you know all of that. So we just hand it all to you and invite you to keep working in our lives, saying right now, lift the heaviness off of us, those who need it, even now, and let us have a freedom of heart and soul to hear the message that you would speak to us through what Pam shares with us this morning. That you would help us to recognize that our hope really is in you. Recognize ways that what she says applies in our own lives and also in relationships around us. I'm sure some even recognize, as I'm praying, that I'm really just speaking about those two great commandments, to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and being and strength, and one another, even as you, Jesus, loved us, even as you, Father, loved us by sending and being in Christ, being Christ, being our Savior, the Anointed One. Thank you. So let your Spirit work among us, even here, renew us, revive us in spirit, soul, even in body. So thank you for the abundance, for the joyfulness, for the seriousness that we experience through this service, for the praises that we get to join in, even in sometimes struggle in our own souls to do so. Thank you. Thank you for the joys. Thank you for the laughter we share. Thank you for the love and the care for one another, even when we're not with each other. for other families and such. Thank you so much. So we give it all to you to let your life shine. All to your awesome glory, because your life and your love, truth itself. We praise you and just overflow with thankfulness. Amen.
Father God, as we can continue to worship now through the study of your word, we stand in you alone, and we continue to seek your face, to be transformed into your likeness. So be with us now as we come to your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. It has gotten a wee bit warm in here, so please feel free to head to the kitchen and cool off with a glass of water. I have my bottle here. I feel a little bit guilty drinking it in front of you, just a little. Not too big, a bit of guilt. So please, cool off with some water. I am very grateful to the Hills and to others who, I sent an email this week asking, could we worship downstairs? Thank you for saying yes. This morning, continuing our Adventures with God series, we're going to start by hopping on the Hope helicopter, and we're going to fly right into God's open arms. A few weeks ago, we saw how God is our peace, and no matter what we are going through, His peace can and should rule in our life. And you will see this morning that hope is just as close to peace as it can be. And in the great adventures of life, such as graduating from school, marriage, having kids, getting a new job that Stephen just got, getting fired from the job, Stephen will not get fired. Death, even. Hope can be our greatest companion through all of life. Now, Russ has already asked the kids, but the main question for the adults now is also, what are you hoping for this morning? Where is your hope at? Maybe someone here is also hoping for a new job, hoping to buy a new car. Somebody's going to, their son needs to sell their house. Maybe you're hoping to move this year. Those are all really good things to hope for. But they are temporary things. How about this? What about the hope to be healthier this year? Hope to lose weight? Some of you might be hoping that the new medication you're taking will help with the physical pain you've had. Again, temporary hope. Now what about this? Is there someone here this morning who is hoping their grandkids will accept Jesus as their Savior this year? Maybe it's possible that there's someone here this morning who's hoping against hope that God will reveal himself so deeply and truly that you finally take that complete step of faith in Christ. If you're here this morning and you even feel a tiny bit hopeless, well, you have come to the right place, because God is here and God is going to fill us up with so much hope that we burst with joy. Hope, then, is the key to joy. Hope is the key to endurance, and hope is the key to our righteousness in Christ. So how many of you are hopeful this morning? Everybody. All right, let's open our Bibles then. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 4. Starting at verse 18, and I'm going to read all the way through to chapter 5, verse 5. So again, Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans. There we are. Hoping against hope, he, this is Abraham, believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Saren's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The first thing that I want us to know is that Paul is talking about the call of Abraham, which is found in Genesis chapter 12, and Gary read some of that for us. This is a beautiful, true story where God asked Abram to join him in a family relationship where God will be worshipped, praised, and glorified through the descendants of Abraham. Now, if you are a professing Christian this morning, then you are one of those descendants. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, reminding the Jewish converts of their history and reminding the Gentiles who are now part of that church that they have been grafted into Israel's beautiful story. Now, Abraham, like many husbands, hopes to be a father one day. And as you can imagine, there might have been days when his hope started to dwindle, especially when he turned 100 years old. And if you were like me, you have an infertility story, and I know that there were days when hope started to sink a little bit. My husband, who turned 50 when I found out I was pregnant, thought he was much better off than Abraham. In Genesis 12, when God first calls Abraham, we are told he is 75 years old. And now it's 25 years later, and he is 100. I'm not going to ask if there's anybody close to 100, but you get the picture. He is pretty darn old. But Abraham hopes against hopes and finally sees the promises of God fulfilled. Listen again to the words of Genesis 21. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded them. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And not just that, God then goes on to tell Abraham that there's going to be more descendants. There will be an offspring, there will be hope, there will be a Messiah, there will be a Christ, there will be a church, there will be resurrection and glory. So what Paul is actually telling us in Romans is that in our adventures with God, there's no room for distrust. There's only room for hope. Now, a few weeks ago, I said we need to pack our listening ears to be able to hear the peaceful whispers of God calling us. Well, this morning, if we've got our backpacks on, we need to pull distrust right out of them, throw it away, and instead put on the armor of hope. And I assure you, the armor of hope is much lighter than the load of doubt that we often carry. We are to pack into our lives remembrance of what God has done in and through Jesus, and hope against all hope that we too one day will be resurrected like Christ. That's our hope, right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. I want to take just a couple of minutes and look at some interesting expressions that are found in this passage. So if you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 18 with me of chapter 4. And this expression that I've been using, hope against hope. It's a really neat phrase, and I admit this week I spent a significant amount of time making sure I really understood it, really grasped what this expression means. In the context of this chapter, it is referring to Abraham's stance towards God's promises, his belief about the promises, his understanding of the promises. The expression means to have faith that is both contrary to hope, as far as nature could give hope, and faith that rested on hope, that God could do what nature could not. I'm going to say that again. The expression means to have faith that is both contrary to hope, as far as nature could give hope, and faith that rested on hope, that God could do what nature could not. In simpler terms, nature does not normally allow us to have children after a certain age. And nor do we naturally think one person could have descendants as numerous as the stars. In both promise situations, God promised something to Abraham that to our minds and his was a natural event that was not possible. But we're dealing with God. And God can do what nature cannot. Sarah and Abraham did have Isaac, and I've already said that we are the descendants. Abraham then had a hope in natural events and in the God who controlled those events. It is God who controls nature. Hope against hope, and every one of us who calls Jesus King has hope against hope right here and in the days to come, and that's because of resurrection, is it not? Our hope that when we die faithful to Jesus, we will be raised from death. Amen? That's our hope against hope. We hope beyond all probability, and we have hope in and have peace in the God who controls all probability. That's good news. And in Christ, we have the most profound hope of seeing our loved ones again. So here's an exhortation. That just means my strong pastoral encouragement. This week, maybe even tonight, if there's something going on in your home, maybe at work, maybe with your kids, maybe the house doesn't sell, whatever it is that's going on with you, if your hope starts to fizzle, starts to sink, it's no longer floating, lean into Jesus. Lean into our hope of resurrection. Lean into all his promises. Remember what he has done for us. Turn to the God of life, the God of resurrection, and press your hope against hope into him. And I promise he is going to see you through whatever that event is. God is in the business of hope, amen? And he's in the business of hope here at CBC, amen?
Amen.
Now, Stephen has already put a challenge before you. The fall is coming. It's not that far away. You got me for a whole other month. Thank you. But better, you got God for eternity. And so Stephen has already said, the fall is coming. We've got to start praying about it. We've got to think about it. We're going to follow up with these 43 families that you've made contact with. And you know what? God might be sending them back in September. So we got to ask God to raise up leaders who are going to nurture those kids that are coming. One great thing about hope is that it's always about what's coming. Yes, resurrection is coming. But until we get there, we have the gospel message to keep sending out. I'm going to ask the members and the adherents of this congregation this question. So the rest of you can sleep for about 10 seconds. Do you believe, members of CBC and adherents, that God is in the business of hope here?
Amen.
I believe it. Do you believe God is going to transform this church into his likeness?
Amen.
Yes.
Do you believe God is going to continue to live out hope through you?
Yes.
Amen.
Good job, brother.
Me, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you believe there is a future ministry of hope for this church?
Amen.
Do you believe there is revival for Main Street Newmarket?
Yes.
That one, that even so. God is in the business of hope. Hope against hope. You know when your friends think you're stupid for being a Christian? I don't know if you've experienced that.
Yeah.
Some of you are nodding. I'm going to get to that. We'll get to that. Second expression I want us to note is in verse 5. Of chapter 5. Let's look at that. Verse 5, chapter 5. Hope does not disappoint us. The literal Greek here is that we are not ashamed. Our hope does not make us ashamed. Now, I thought about this for a long time, too, this week. The best illustration I could think of is the sociological distress that many young women, it happens to men as well, but many young women feel a terrible distress and shame when they are pressured to have sex outside of marriage. I've had girlfriends who gave their bodies over to sex because they hoped, a false hope, that the guy they were with was going to love them more and treat them better. When you've been through that kind of an experience, you feel a tremendous shame. But in Jesus, we have no shame. Look at verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We are not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul says in Romans 1. Yes, to the world we wait for this God to come back, and that seems foolish to a lot of people these days, doesn't it? We worship this God we cannot see, and I'm sure, just like I said a moment ago, some of your friends and family think you're a bit silly, foolish, stupid even. To the world, sex before marriage is the norm. But for Christians, sex and marriage is the blessing. And we as Christians on this side of the cross, on this incredible journey now, we know it's God who sustains us, offers us peace, and enables us to have hope against hope. And we are sustained, our hope is sustained, because of the love that the Holy Spirit has poured into us and for us and all around us. How do we get hope? Well, first, Paul is clear in Romans. It is through the encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. I cannot say it enough for my life, for your lives. Dig into scripture. How many of you have been playing Pokemon? Anybody been playing Pokemon Go? You've been playing Pokemon Go? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is anybody who does not know what I'm talking about, Pokemon Go? Y'all know? Okay, see, I don't have a cell phone, but people have cell phones. They're going around the entire world, it seems, chasing these animated characters, and they're showing up in groups of people, and some of them are crashing cars, and it's just been this crazy thing. I like fun. I like games. I'm hoping we're going to throw water bottles at YouTube this afternoon, or water balloons. You know, like, I enjoy that kind of stuff, too. But are we raising our kids to seek after Christ as much as they're seeking after Pokemon Go? Are we raising our kids to seek a life to be resurrected? Because we all get resurrected, those in Christ and those outside of Christ. Those in Christ get resurrected into eternal glory with the Father. And those outside of Christ are resurrected into hell. And so as we watch our kids globally chase animated characters on our phone, I wonder if that kid in there who's making all the noise, mine, is gonna seek Christ the way we seek the next video game or, you know, movie. Star Trek's coming out this week, right?
Amen.
I'm going. Our friends and our family think we're foolish because we have this thing called hope against hope. And we've got it because it's been sustained by the love that the Holy Spirit has poured out to us. And we get that hope by reading scripture. So I'm begging you, as your sister, older sister to some, baby sister to some of you, keep digging into scripture. Make sure you're reading the Bible. Bible studies are still going on, right? There's one next week at George and Janice's house. Join the Bible study. The second answer of how do we find hope is found in Hebrews 6, which Gary read for us. To have the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, that we may not be sluggish. These are not sluggish times. Quite frankly, I think we are living in dangerous times. Some of you shared with me, I'll use the word persecution. Some of you shared with me the persecution, the grief of what's been happening here in this community over the last couple of years. Jesus told us the world will hate us. Jesus told us there's persecution to come. So hang on to that hope. And we do so by being imitators of those through faith. Have the patience to wait for the eternal promises to come. What that means is that we are to behave patiently, keep pressing forward in that hope against hope. And I think the best answer to how do we get hope is simply through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. To journey with hope means to trust the God of creation who has been revealed in Jesus of Nazareth. Trust him even though all of nature is against you. To be on the hope train means to boast and rejoice in our hope that God is sharing all of who he is with us. And to walk the path of hope means to be never ashamed or disappointed in God. As redeemed people, justified and found righteous because of our faith, just like that of Abraham and Sarah, means to have hope. I'm going to finish with some questions. And again, this is for the members here and the adherents. And I'd like to hear some of your answers, if that's okay. You know me, I like participation. These are some questions that you might consider as you continue to meet with Pastor Keith and plan the future of this church. I was going to ask you to think about the next 5 to 10 years, but I think that's too long. So I'm going to ask you about the next year at this church. The next 2 years, tops. Don't think past that. Here's a good one to start with. How is the biblical nature of hope lived out here? Is it?
Been here every week. Is an expression of that.
Coming into fellowship with each other every week.
Together every week.
Yeah.
Let's hope that something will keep going.
So being in fellowship, we're commanded to be in fellowship with one another. That's hope. What do you hope will be different in the services? Expanded. Perhaps something you really, really like in the services, you hope to expand it.
Talk to God.
Talking to God, amen.
People?
What do you hope will be removed in your services? Besides the preacher.
Distraction.
That means me, not Keith. Okay?
Distraction.
Distraction or destruction or both?
Distraction is what I said.
Distraction, yeah. How many new members do you hope to receive in the next year?
Probably
Here's my favorite. How many people do you hope will be baptized in the next 2 years?
100.
100. Amen.
It's not too hard for the Lord.
Somebody understood my sermon. Do you hope to sell the building? Oh, that got everybody's attention. Heads popped up. Do you hope for revival?
Yes.
In Newmarket. On Main Street. Do you hope for your own personal maturity in Christ? We live in a world that says, I love you just the way you are. I love you. You don't need to change. Yeah, I love you too. You don't need to be different. Those are lies. Those are lies. Starting with my family, starting with you and your family, we are to deepen our faith in Christ. Grow. Be more mature. I love y'all. But I want you to keep changing and keep growing and keep hoping. So when I ask that question, do you hope for your own personal maturity in Christ? The answer is
yes.
Yes. Where and who is Christian Baptist hoping in? These are tough questions. They're honest questions. I struggle with some of them. I have a prayer request. Some of you know, because I talk about it nonstop. Victoria starts school in September. I'm not an anxious person. Not somebody who struggles with anxiety issues, but I am so afraid about sending this precious little kid to school. And I had another colleague say to me, reminding me that Heavenly Father sent His Son into the world. So sometimes my hope wanes a bit about her protection. Twice I've asked, is there an adult in there? So pray for me over the next month as we prepare her to go to school. My hope is that Christ will protect her, Christ will guide her, that the world will not touch her. My hope is in Christ. Is your hope in Christ this morning? My prayer is that these questions and other questions that your deacons have been working through will lead you in the future as you continue to pray together, meet together, read together, talk to God together, study His Word. Because hope is true and hope is real, but it's only found in Jesus. As Christians, we have a strong, confident, great expectation that God is caring for us on this amazing adventure called life. And Paul says in Romans 8:24, for it is in hope that we are saved. And what that means is that we are kept, preserved, sustained in our journey, even our trials, by our hope in Jesus, by the very hope of God. Amen?
Amen.
Resounding yes. Christian Baptist Church, your hope is in
Jesus.
Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
So often as I sing and read these hymns, I start thinking, yes, me, but sometimes I think we need to sing we, because it's both, isn't it? Maybe we need to sing it once both ways to be able to get that in our own hearts. Yes, me, yes, he, yes, she, yes, we. There's that whole combination of the two great commandments, really, isn't it? But this morning we've gone through hymns about how God is our solid rock, how God is my solid rock, your solid rock. We've gone through a message about hope based on God being that solid rock. We've heard about and been encouraged by Mark's singing that tender, thoughtful one about being in the garden, since it's the garden of our own hearts, the garden of the Spirit of Christ, even, where we meet with God in that place that is peaceful and full of life and abundance, overflowing, that we can't even need to weed or anything. In a sense, it's God who weeds it for us, but with us. And even does, yes, give us responsibilities to weed our souls in the midst of it. So we've been given a lot today, shared a lot today. So as you go forward, maybe you should take this bulletin with you to remind you a few times of what you shared in this morning. To think on it and remind yourself of what you've shared together, gathered with others who believe with you. So the burdens, the struggles you go through this week, yes, God is with you, with me, with us alone, individually, but also together, and we share one another's burdens, even though we all bear our own sins. So as you go forward now, into this week, go with a sense of relief, even though I'm moved with these tears welling in my eyes, yet there's a relief and an assurance and, yes, a joy that we share, that we walk together into this world in, and we can hold this sense of nearness, this sense of oneness, the sense of oneness in Christ that we have shared in, sung in, listened in. Go forward in hope. Go forward in assurance of love. And share that. Let it overflow out of you as it wells up within you. And may that abundance of Christ just be with you, overflowing in Christ. Amen. So be it.
Amen.